Hello and welcome to ProYaki This Week. This is the week of September 29th through October 5th. This week's Hot and Not segment, provided by Ken D, leads off ProYaki This Week and focuses on the battle for the third and final spot in the Central League playoffs, with first two Climax Series participants, but not the order of finish, having already been decided. It was left to Chunichi and Hiroshima to fight it out for the final spot. At the beginning of the week, the teams were tied in the standings with identical 67-65-5 records. The schedule seemed to favor the Nagoya squad, at least over the first four games, since they would be taking on the Hanshin Tigers once and then meeting the hapless Yokohama Bay Stars for three, while the Carp also had one against Hanshin, followed by three against the slightly tougher Tokyo Yakult Swallows. On September 29th, while the Dragons were idle, Hiroshima went to Koshien and fell behind 1-0 early on a Makoto Imaoka home run. The Tigers added two more runs in the fourth, but the Carp did not fold as they eventually answered with three runs of their own in the sixth and seventh to tie the game. However, Tomoaki Kanemoto powered out his 25th home run of the year in the bottom of the 8th, and Hiroshima's fate was sealed, a 5-3 loss. The next day was Chunichi's turn to do battle at Koshien, but they were rained out while Hiroshima was getting blanked 8-0 at Meiji Jingu. Hiroshima found themselves a full game behind Chunichi in the standings as September came to a close. The next day at Jingu, October 1st, Hiroshima started young Yuki Saito, who only lasted 3-plus innings. Hiroshima's relief was no help at all, and by the time the dust settled, after a 9-run fourth inning by the Swallows, the Carp trailed 10-1. Norichika Aoki had 4 of Yakult's 15 hits in a 13-3 drumming, all while Chunichi was blanking the Bay Stars 3-0 behind Kenshin Kawakami in Yokohama. Now 2 games behind, time was running out on the Carp. With some breathing room now, the Dragons looked to crush for all. However, Thursday didn't start off well for Chunichi, falling behind 3-0 in the first frame. But they would need it since Hiroshima's Kan Otake was tossing a which turned into an eventual 1-0 win. Testing. I'm not sure if this is going through or not now. Let's sit here. Some breathing room now. The Chunichi Dragons looked to crush the Carp's postseason hopes once and for all. However, Thursday didn't start off well, for Chunichi falling behind 3-0 in the first frame. But they had some rally in them, and they would need it, since Hiroshima's Kan Otake was tossing a gem which turned into an eventual 1-0 win. The Dragons rode home runs from Tyrone Woods and Byung-Yu Lee into extra innings, with Lee supplying a second homer of the game in the 10th inning to propel Chunichi to victory. The win, while not opening their lead another game, ticked another digit off of their magic number. the death blow was inevitable now. After a 7-2 victory, after a 7-2 victory over Yokohama on Friday, the Dragons had a 2.5-game lead on the ice-cold Carp and needed to just win one or a Hiroshima loss to settle the matter. The decision came in the form of Hiroshima's loss when Colby Lewis was pounded for 8 earned runs early on Saturday afternoon. The final was a surprising 14-5 loss at the hands of Yokohama. But minutes later, Junichi came back to defeat Mark Kroon to leave no doubt about their securing a Climax Series berth. With the remaining games rendered meaningless, the final totals on the week were as follows. Junichi, 4 wins and 1 loss, 1 rainout, for a record of 71-66-5, a 5.18 winning percentage, with 2 games remaining. Hiroshima, 2 wins and 4 losses, for a record of 69-69-5, an even 500, with 1 game remaining. And on that note, what will be the fate of Hiroshima's Brown Kantoku? Matsuda owner earlier this year stated that Marty Brown would be retained on one of two conditions: that the Carp finish third or higher, qualifying for the Climax Series, or that the Carp finish with a 500 winning percentage or higher. Well, number one is out of the running now, and with one game to go, the Carp are at an even 69-69. That means that Brown Kantoku's fate rests in the outcome of tonight's final Carp game of the season, facing the Yokohama Bay Stars in Yokohama. They've split the current 3-game series, which started on that fateful Saturday when the normally reliable Colby Lewis self-destructed. Lewis struggled against the Bay Stars 0-3 with a 7.00 ERA, and Junichi 0-2 with a 4.50 ERA. But Lewis dominated the rest of the league with a combined 10 wins and 2 losses against the Giants, Tigers, and Swallows. 5 of those wins and no losses against the Swallows. With ERAs of 2.31, 1.33, and 1.22, respectively. Lewis is still on top of the Central League pitching leaders with a 2.68 ERA, 3 complete games, which is actually shared with 2 others, 2 shutouts, 183 strikeouts, and a 9.25 strikeouts per 9 inning ratio. Nonetheless, it's rookie Junpei Shinoda, 3-4 with a 4.53 ERA, who is starting this evening against Yokohama. Currently, as I'm monitoring the score, the Bay Stars and Carp are tied up at 1-1. Against the Bay Stars this season, Shinoda is 1-0 in 2 games, having thrown 9 innings, allowing 3 earned runs on 7 hits, one of them a home run, 1 walk, and striking out 3 for a 3.00 ERA against the Bay Stars. This evening, however, he has led an awful lot of Bay Stars reach base. It's been a good number of double plays to end innings, which have saved him. And I should say that that goes the other way around. The Carp have also had a large number of base runners, also many of which have been erased on inning-ending double plays. During Hiroshima's 7-2 win over Yokohama on Sunday, one fan in the left field stands had a sign saying, "Road to Climax 2009 with Marty!" Brown Kantoku said after the game, "Yeah, I saw that message. It made me very happy. I want to continue to be Hiroshima's manager." Well, while that is a direct quote from the newspaper, it is a translation of a translation, so his actual words may vary. Still, it all comes down to tonight. And there is competition for the Sawamura Award. I know that I did this last week, and I came to the conclusion that Iwakuma deserved the award over Darvish. And Lewis, who was mentioned above, wouldn't even finish in the top three in the Pacific League. But another week has gone by now, with both pitchers having thrown. Does this past week make a difference? I'd say yes and no. Both hurlers threw on Monday. Darvish, just a couple of innings of shutout ball to better his ERA to 1.88, and Iwakuma getting tagged for the loss, allowing three runs in five innings to balloon his ERA to a whopping 1.93. Patrick Newman, also known as PL Nada on JapaneseBaseball.com, made his comparisons and assessments over that after that fateful Monday, and these were his concluding words. With the exception of Iwakuma's complete game total, 5, both pitchers meet all the criteria or come so close that it doesn't matter. So it'll come down to what the selection committee values more highly: Iwakuma's win total for his also-ran team, or Darvish's general unhittableness. Personally, my head says it's Darvish, but my gut says it's Iwakuma. This would be an easier choice if the Fighters had scored a few more runs behind Darvish early in the season, but they didn't. Iwakuma was consistent throughout the whole year and helped give Rakuten's fans their first year of competitive baseball to cheer for. In the end, I think I'd go for Iwakuma. Well, on Sunday night, Iwakuma threw 6 innings of shutout ball for the win against the Hawks, lowering his ERA to 1.87, 1/100th of a run per 9 innings lower than Darvish, taking the Triple Crown of most wins with 21, highest winning percentage, 840, and best ERA, 187. Of the 18 Triple Crown winners since the inception of the Sawamura Award in 1947, only 10 of them have won the award, so it isn't a shoe-in just by winning the Triple Crown. There were 4 Triple Crown winners before the Sawamura Award came to be, including Sawamura Eiji himself, in the spring of 1937 when he won 24 out of 30 games he pitched in with an 8.57 winning percentage and 0.81 ERA. I'll tell you, every time I look in my baseball encyclopedia for, you know, any kind of research like this, it just amazes me what some of those old-timers were like. And, you know, I've heard Sawamura's name over and over throughout the years. You know, there is the award about him after all. But to come over and just see something like that, a stat like that, and that was the spring season. That was essentially half a season that he pitched. And through numbers like that, that's just amazing. Anyway, what is it that sets Iwakuma apart from the 8 that failed to win this coveted award? Well, he has 20 wins or more, 21 that is, an ERA that is in the ones, he's at 1.87, and a winning percentage better than 800. Iwakuma is at 840. The last pitcher to have Triple Crown numbers like that was Hall of Famer Sugiura Tadashi. I really need to write these things in kanji. They're easier to read in kanji than in romaji. Anyway, Hall of Famer Sugiura Tadashi of the Nankai Hawks in 1959. That's 49 years ago since somebody had triple crown numbers at these levels. Other than Sugiura, Iwakuma also joins the company of Sawamura Eiji, Wakabayashi Tadashi, who figured with these numbers twice, Otomo Koji, who also had two seasons with numbers in these ranges, but is not in the Hall of Fame. Nishimura Sadaaki, also not in the Hall of Fame. And Ino Kazuhisa. These are some of the biggest names in Japanese baseball's golden age, so Iwakuma is in with some very good company this season. Back at NPBTracker.com, Newman-san revised his evaluation based on Iwakuma's win and the 0.01 lead in ERA like this. I think that will seal the award for him. I fully agree with Newman-san. On to the races. The Central League. And nothing has changed in the standings since September 30th. In first place is the Hanshin Tigers, who last week 1-2, lost 1, tied 1, and were rained out once. Their totals overall better to 81-55 with 3 ties and a 5.96 winning percentage with 5 games remaining. The Giants also have 81 wins but 56 losses, one more than the Tigers, with 3 ties of 5.91 winning percentage. They are a half game back with one less game to play, just 4. In third place, Chunichi has that sealed up with a 71-66 record, 5 ties, a 5.18 winning percentage. They're currently 10.5 games out with 2 games remaining. Hiroshima are in fourth place, 69-69 with 5 ties, and even 500, 13 games back with 1 game remaining, it going on right now. Still tied up, now in the bottom of the 7th inning, I might add. The Tokyo Yakult Swallows this past week, 3 wins, 2 losses, and a tie. They remain in 5th place. They're trying to catch up to the Carp. 62-72 and 4 ties, a 4.63 winning percentage, 18 games out, with 6 games remaining. Mathematically, they can do it, but realistically, highly unlikely. And finally, the Yokohama Bay Stars. They actually won one this week to 5 losses, and they've been fixed in 6th place for a while now. 44 wins, 92 losses, 2 ties, a 3.24 winning percentage, 37 games out of first place, also with 6 games remaining. It really looks like it'll be Hanshin and Kyojin down to the wire as the two teams continue to match each other game to game. They'll be facing each other for the last time this season at Tokyo Dome on Wednesday, October 8th. A friend of mine got tickets to the nosebleed seats, so I'll be there. I think I'll cheer for the Giants in hopes that they'll win another meaningless pennant and lose to Chunichi in the Climax Series for a second year in a row. Speaking of which, Ochiai Kantoku's reaction to making the playoffs was a bit more subdued than that of most teams' managers, as he did not get thrown into the air after defeating the Giants in the playoffs last year to win the right to go to the Nippon Series. Ochiai Kantoku says that in his mind, the season is all about winning the pennant, then moving on to become number one in Japan. His goal was not to reach the Climax Series. That's just a consequence of the rules agreed upon by others. Interestingly, Ochiai Kantoku then went into a public service announcement explaining that it's similar to wearing a seatbelt, if I understand what I read in Nikkan Sports correctly. You see, in June, the law was put into effect that everyone in a vehicle must wear a seatbelt, even the passengers in back. Only those in front seats were required to wear them until then. So now when Ochiai gets into a taxi, the first thing he does is put on his seatbelt, he proudly professed. Not to do so would cause trouble for the driver, possibly even costing the driver a fine. So Ochiai wears his seatbelt without complaint. The same with the Climax Series. Ochiai Kantoku doesn't necessarily like the format, but it's the rules that have been put in place upon him and his team by others, so he's got to abide by them. And if necessary, he's got to go on to win the right to go on to the Nippon Series. Over in the Pacific League, of course, the Saitama Seibu Lions sealed up first place last week, as Oryx also sealed up second. In third place this week is Nippon Ham, climbing up out of fourth place last week, 73-69-2, a 5-14 winning percentage, 4 games out of first. And Lotte is in 4th place, 73-70 with 1 tie, 5-10 winning percentage, 4.5 games back. And the top 4 places are all sealed. None of the top 4 teams have any games remaining. The only teams with games remaining now are 5th place Nakuten and 6th place SoftBank, both carrying over their positions from last week. Nakuten with 3 wins and 4 losses, SoftBank with 1 win and 3 losses. So the only two teams with games remaining, the Eagles and Hawks, meet tonight and tomorrow at K Stadium Miyagi to finish the season, battling for last place. Nakamura Kantoku only needs one more win to guarantee a fifth place finish, whereas O Kantoku needs to win them both to save his Hawks from the cellar. Sayonara, Kiyohara. Wednesday, October 1st, 2008 was Kiyohara Day at Kyocera Dome in Osaka. Pages 1 through 4 of Nikkan Sports were dedicated entirely to this Koshien hero from the mid-1980s who wanted nothing more than to be a Yomiuri Giant. Unfortunately, his best friend at PL Gakuin, Kuwata, was drafted by the Giants in the first round, while Kiyohara, was drafted by the Seibu Lions in that other league. Reluctantly, Kiyohara went to the Lions, where he performed well and was a fan favorite, despite not winning any home run titles. Although, he was the strikeout king his first year, 1986. Once a free agent, Kiyohara bolted straight to the Giants, turning down an offer to name the just-completed dome over Seibu Kyujo to Kiyohara Dome if he stayed. Now that's dedication to the Giants. With the Giants, other than being strikeout king in 1997 and 2001, Kiyohara reached the 2,000 hit milestone on June 4, 2004, and the 500 home run milestone on April 29, 2005. He was the 8th player to reach 500 home runs in NPB history. Soon after reaching those milestones, though, Kiyohara faded from view for the most part. It was as though the Giants only played him to reach that milestone, then they were ready to discard him, as they've done with Ochiai and numerous other free agents before. This is one of the reasons that I really became an anti-Giants fan. Just the way they treat players. The players love the Giants. They put their heart and soul into the team, and then the Giants just use them for one purpose, such as reaching a particular milestone, and then toss them aside. Having his heart broken by the Giants dumping him, Kiyohara reluctantly joined the Oryx Buffaloes in December of 2005, soon after Ogi Kantoku's death. Actually, Ogi was the special director for Oryx at the time, and had wanted Kiyohara to join the team. Joining Oryx was basically to honor Ogi's memory. With the Buffs, perhaps Kiyohara's biggest moment was hitting a Gyakuten Sayonara Manui home run off of Yokohama's Mark Kroon on May 27, 2006. All of that translated to English. A come-from-behind walk-off bases-loaded home run, Grand Slam home run. Unfortunately, Kiyohara's knees gave out soon after that, with Kiyohara mounting a short comeback in August of 2006. Then, thereafter, he pretty much faded away for a couple of seasons, having surgery on February 28 of 2007 on his knees. Kiyohara Day at Kyocera Dome last Wednesday saw the slugger batting in the number 4 spot and going 1 for 4, including an RBI double. He did an Ichiro impression in the batter's box one of his at-bats while Ichiro was in attendance. And in Kiyohara's final at-bat, like the mighty Casey, he struck out. The final strikeout of Kiyohara's career was number 1,955, over 200 more than former teammate Akiyama's 1,712, which is the Pacific League record. Kiyohara's record is combined between Pacific and Central Leagues. On to the remaining Pacific League Climax Series decision. The final participant of the Pacific League Climax Series was decided on Kiyohara Day, whereas first and second had already been decided before last week. Lotte and Nippon Ham were running neck and neck for the final Climax Series spot in the Pacific League. Lotte was in control of their destiny as they could win all three of their last three games and take the third place spot. A Nippon Ham loss would mean they only needed two out of three. However, Nippon Ham put the pressure on with a devastating 17-0 eagle kill in Sendai. Meanwhile, at Chiba Marine Stadium, Watanabe Shunsuke gave up 7 runs in the second inning to the Lions, and the Marines were unable to mount a big enough comeback. They ended up losing 9-5, and just like that, they were eliminated from contention. Defeating Rakuten the next 2 days was of little consolation, as Bobby's Marines finished a half game behind the Fighters in fourth place. No postseason this year for the Marines. The Pacific League Climax Series schedule is now set. Stage 1 will be held Octobers 11, 12, and 13 with all three games at Kyocera Dome. Stage 2 will be October 17 through the 23rd with the game on the 17th at Ken Stadium Omiya in Saitama, and the 18th through 23rd all at Cebu Dome. It's good to see the Saitama Cebu Lions spreading around games, especially over to Omiya, which will have a much bigger throughput than Tokorozawa, so far as potential customers are concerned. And finally, of course, nobody really wants to hear that the Bay Stars tied their franchise record of 14 losses in a row this week, just 2 losses shy of the Central League record. Nobody, right? Well, in that case, that's a wrap. I'd like to thank you all for joining me this evening, live or via podcast. Pro Yaki This Week is a production of JapaneseBaseball.com and is distributed under the Creative Commons license. You may copy, redistribute, and or rebroadcast in whole or in part in any way you wish, provided that you give credit to JapaneseBaseball.com. The segment with an extract from NPB Tracker is similarly redistributable under the Creative Commons Attribution License. Please see www.npbtracker.com for the full article and more information on Pro Yaku. This is Michael Westbay, your host. Hope you have a good one. Take care.